Okay, we're, as someone put it, we're on today's agenda now. Take up Red Crab, tab 14. Turn it over to Mary Beth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On behalf of Dave, who is the chairman of the Red Crab Committee, I'm going to make the presentation today, or at least speak to it before the staff makes their presentation. And we have before us Crab Amendment 3, which brings the crab plan up to date with the reauthorized Magnuson Act, and also contains some measures that will be helpful to the fishery in achieving OY. The Crab Committee met, August 12th, and went through the document. There have been public hearings. I don't recall. I think there was at least one. I don't know if there were more than that, but I think Dick can fill us in on some of that, and I will turn it over to Dick for his presentation.
Chris. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to run through a... short presentation on the options and or alternatives in the amendment, and Dick, who chaired the plan development team and prepared the documents, can answer any questions that are involve any details. One thing to keep in mind in the process of getting to this point is the committee met in August, as Mary Beth said, and they did not meet after the public hearings. But they recommended a set of preferred alternatives, and those are going forward as the set of preferred alternatives, even though they haven't had a chance to meet since then. The goals of the amendment are simply to bring the Red Crab FMP in compliance with the new requirements of the Magnuson Act, consider measures to improve red crab management, and establish specifications for fishing years 2011 to 13. I'm going to skip the management unit terms and and get right to the alternatives. There were two major alternatives for managing the fishery in terms of catch or catch targets and effort. The preferred alternative was a hard total TAL without days at sea. This alternative was recommended by the committee and the advisory panel. The no action alternative is what we currently have, obviously, target TAC with days at sea controls. The trip limit alternatives, the preferred alternative was to eliminate trip limits, which was recommended by the committee and advisory panel. And the no action alternative was to retain the 75,000-pound trip limit. There have been some concerns about expressed by the Fisheries Service about eliminating the trip limit because that allows the catch to be spread out over the course of the year. The committee felt that because of the harvesting cooperative that currently is in the fishery, that a derby fishery could be avoided. And if there were an issue in the future, the trip limit would be frameworkable. There's also some trap limit alternatives. The preferred alternative, also recommended by the committee and the advisory panel. And I should add that the public hearings were lightly attended. They were attended by the industry advisory panel and a couple members from the committee. So the public comments were all consistent with the committee recommendations and the advisory panel. There is a summary of the public hearing in the binder materials. So the preferred alternative would be that no limited access red crab vessel may harvest red crab from any fishing gear other than red crab pots or traps, and vessels may not deploy more than 600 traps or pots in deeper than 400 meters or shallower than 400. It should be deeper than 600 meters or shallower than 400 meters. No limited access red crab vessel may deploy. That seems to have been a glitch in the presentation. It's the 600 to 400 meter range. Is that what we had,
Dick? It was just deploy pile of traps deeper than 400 meters.
Okay. The purpose of this provision is not clear from the wording, but it's to basically allow to retain the trap limit, but also to allow red crab vessels to carry lobster traps. The no action alternative is no vessel may harvest or haul red crab from any fishing gear other than red crab pots or traps marked as specified. So this provision would allow red crab vessels to carry lobster traps and red crab gear, but the red crab gear would have to be deployed deeper than 400 meters. Part of the reason why the Red Crab Advisory Panel recommended staying with a trap limit alternative is they felt it would not raise other issues, such as any concerns about marine mammals, and that would make the amendment document more approvable, and this provision more approvable to allow lobster gear to be used. The AM alternatives, preferred alternative for a proactive alternative is an in-season closure, and NIMS would have the authority to close the fishery when the TAL is projected to be reached. And that was also recommended by the committee and the advisory panel. Other AM alternatives, the preferred alternative that was reactive would be a next year in season, the TAL would be reduced by any overage. And that was also recommended by the committee and advisory panel. Non-preferred reactive would be to have the TAL reduced by the amount of the overage in the following year. The committee and the advisory panel felt that because of the small number of boats in the fishery and the reporting requirements, that overages could be computed relatively quickly, and if they were implemented in season the following year, that would not be an issue. Further, preferred AM alternative was to combine both the proactive and reactive AMs, and that was recommended by the committee and advisory panel. For the specification process, this is mostly just a minor bookkeeping or change in the text, and that's to modify the specification process to include the SSC, the role of the SSC in setting ABCs. Also, in the specification process, the preferred alternative is to modify it so the components include an ABC, an ACL, and a TAL, also recommended by the committee and advisory panel. this alternative would eliminate the prohibition on the landings of female crab conditional on a scientific recommendation and the council's adoption of an ABC ACL that includes females. Now, this alternative was added to the list of alternatives by the committee. However, the committee did not pass a formal motion indicating that it was a preferred alternative. but my understanding was that might have just been an oversight by the committee, and it was also supported by the advisory panel. The current alternative in the FMP does not allow the landing of females in excess of one tote. There have also been some comments from the Fisheries Service that this alternative should be added through an amendment. However, the committee felt that if it could be frameworkable, that would be preferable, and it might save the council some steps in specifying the work to be done separately in its annual priority setting process. So this would perhaps allow this issue to be dealt with in terms of just a normal adjustment cycle. However, it would require substantial additional work. We have the final change to the specifications and the specification components for 2011 through 2013. The no action alternative still has specified an MSY of 2,830 tons, an ABC and was set at 1,775 and has a target TAC and fleet days at sea. The preferred alternative reflects the most recent SSC report to the council, in which they were not able to identify an OFL or an MSY point, and no OY was set as a result, and what their recommendation was for an interim ABC for the council. The ACL is set at the ABC level. The committee and advisory panel did not feel it was necessary to set an ACT lower than that because the reporting system should enable the management uncertainty to be reduced to near zero, and there's an immediate reactive AM should the ACL be exceeded. And that concludes the alternatives. And perhaps I don't know if there were any committee members that would like to add anything, or perhaps there are questions first.
Rodney.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chris, on slide number 6, and I think I heard you clarify it on a second bullet. It says vessels may not deploy more than 600 traps / pots in deeper than 400 meters or shallower than 400 meters.
Yeah, there's a mistake there.
That's 600 meters, correct? All right. Now, in the very next bullet.
Dick.
No, it should read, if you look on page 31 of the document, the language is there. I think there was an attempt to make the language more concise for the slide, but it's basically that, I'll read it. A vessel owner or operator of a vessel that holds a valid limited access red crab permit may not deploy more than 600 traps or pots in water depths greater than 400 meters, 219 fathoms, and may not harvest red crab in water depths less than 400 meters. So this was to get at the issue with boats that had a combination. They had both an offshore lobster permit and a red crab permit, and before the FMP went into place, they would combine those fisheries on the same trip. The way the regulations were written when the FMP went into place, it did not allow them to haul lobster traps on the same trip that they had red crabs on board. So this was an attempt to let them go back to the original strategy and conserve fuel rather than having to come to shore between trips, if it made sense for them to combine a trip, but still to maintain the trap limit in the red crab fishery.
Yeah, thank you for that, but it just was confusing on this slide.
Right. I should add that the Fisheries Service has some concerns about the enforceability of this measure.
Anyone on the council? We have a motion? Mary Beth?
Yeah, I would just agree with Chris's assessment of the female crab issue. I think we just had an assumption at the time as we moved through the discussion and the motion that it was also a preferred alternative. So on behalf of the committee, I would move that the council approve Amendment 15, including the preferred alternatives recommended by the committee, and the alternative that would allow the landing of female red crab in a future framework action based on the recommendations of the SSC. And I will note that all of the motions at the committee were unanimous.
Is this Amendment 3 or 15? Okay, so it's Amendment 3, Karen. We just did 15. Okay, discussions on the motion on the board. Pat?
Yeah, as Chris pointed out, we have a couple of concerns with, we have concerns with a couple of the measures proposed. First is the proposal to allow the red crab and lobster harvest on the same trip, and the language that is specific to the number of trips and what you harvest based on the depth that those traps are deployed. This is clearly unenforceable. You know, if you want to include a provision such as that, then I don't think you could expect it to be enforced, and it really becomes meaningless then. It makes the 600 trap limit meaningless. And one of the justifications for eliminating the trip limit, which could also be problematic, but one of the justifications is that there is a 600 trap limit. But there effectively will no longer be. I mean, there's just no way that the Coast Guard or our enforcement could enforce those provisions. And then the second one is actually the elimination of the prohibition on landing the red crab. I appreciate what the committee and the council are trying to do. Someday in the future, if in fact there's enough scientific information to allow harvest to facilitate the process. But I don't think it's just about the amount of female red crab that you'd be allowed to land. At that point, the council would also need to be thinking about how exactly it was you could tell how much female crab was landed and how much male crab was landed, and other provisions that aren't specific to a specification setting process. So I'm not sure you're going to achieve your objective. I still think it might be premature to try to include that provision. So those are two that we have specific concerns with.
It's a question to Dick or Chris. Why do we have a trap limit in this fishery?
You want me to think? I think everybody would agree that as far as conserving red crab, there's no need for a trap limit. But people did not want to open that issue up because of the marine mammal concerns, things like that. The industry's happy with the 600 trap limit. They don't see any need to fish any more than that. So rather than having a provision that said we're going to do away with the trap limit and raising all those issues, well, what does that mean about buoy lines and marine mammal issues and getting involved in that? Everybody said, well, let's just try to fix the problem with not being able to fish both lobster traps and crab traps, but let's not do away with the trap limit.
So what's the maximum number of red crab traps that would be in the water?
Well, there's five permits. There's only been the most active boats that there have been since the FMP went into place was four. There's generally three active boats at any one time, probably sometimes two. So you're talking from 1,200 traps in the water to 3,000 traps would be the maximum.
Is there currently a prohibition on one vessel hauling the traps of another vessel in this fishery?
I don't know. Maybe Mike could answer that. We've never had to talk about that.
I don't recall that there is.
But I hear you on the marine mammal concern and, you know, putting a line in the sand so that it can be quantified and everything. I'm just wondering if it's better to just have a cap on the number of traps in the fishery. And I don't know the business that well to know whether or not 600's more than enough for a vessel to set and haul. And I didn't know whether the vessel was limited to hauling those 600 traps or not. But, I mean, just looking at this fishery, it's unique for this council. It's a pretty consolidated management and ownership on the industry side, and we have we're having a hard limit put in on the crabs, and just looking at ways to break down the barriers that, you know, that you're trying to get at with the lobster and the crab issue, but also just in the crab fishery as well. That's why I was asking the questions. Go back to the council, Dave Gaethel.
Yeah, I'd like to point out, because people may not know it, that a red crab trap and a lobster trap are fundamentally different creatures, and that they're easily identifiable even from the air. I mean, they just look totally different. You're not gonna catch red crabs with a lobster trap, and you're not gonna catch any amount of lobsters with a red crab trap. So I do believe it's enforceable. You know, if you're in a certain depth and you get the wrong trap out, that's evidence of a violation. On the other point, on the female crabs, and the reason the committee wanted to get this done now is that there is an ongoing scientific experiment. The results won't be available in time for this amendment. And we'd like to have a way of including it, recognizing that, you know, red crab is not something that gets a lot of priority here. And, you know, it would be a shame to have the results of the experiment come in and have something that could be done and then not be able to schedule an action for 4, 5, 10 years, whatever it is, to get it done. And if I make it into a frameworkable item under a very specific set of conditions, this isn't just, okay, they hand us the results of the experiment, it gets peer-reviewed, and everybody says, okay, go do it. I mean, it still has to go through the SSC. The SSC would have to set an ACL for female crabs. They're easily identifiable, male and female. So there's a lot of steps before the framework would go forward. But it was still something that could be done in a reasonably short period of time, as opposed to waiting for priority setting another amendment, and then going through it. So there were very specific reasons that the committee wanted to do this, and they more or less revolve around the business timelines of the council, which are, you know, perennially over congested.
Rip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I might, to the service, Pat, you just indicated that you thought it was a problem having landings of crab and lobster on the same trip. That, I just haven't heard that before, and it doesn't translate to we allow people to land codfish and lobster or finfish and lobster on a constant basis. And I'm just curious as to why that's a problem. And you also indicated it might be a problem on the trip limits, when what I heard in the presentation was that the reason you can set the ABC, the ACL at the ABC, is that the landings monitoring is good enough to keep track of that. So I kind of wonder why the trip limit is an issue. And maybe I didn't hear you correctly.
Well, you didn't on the first part, because I don't believe anyway, and I didn't mean to if I did say that the problem was landing red crab and lobster in the same trip. It was the change to the language that suggests that we're going to have 600 pots in water depths greater than 400 meters, and then you can't harvest red crab in depths less than 400 meters versus the situation now, which is just, 600 pots that you could have or fish. And I didn't really understand the second part of your comment.
I thought you, I heard you say that not having a trip limit could be problematic. Okay, thank you.
Dr. Weinberg.
Thank you. I'd like to just talk about the research that David Gafel mentioned on the female red crab. And it seems like this measure is basically written presuming that the research that's being done is going to provide the information that could lead to scientists figuring out whether there is a sustainable female harvest or not. And I was just wanted to hear from people closer to the research if that, in fact, is the case and that's the purpose of the research.
I can try to answer that because I don't think it's clear whether there's an exempted fishery permit in effect now that allows, I think it's 1 million pounds over 2 years of females to be landed. And the purpose of that was both to see if there was a market for female crabs and also to gather information relative to the fishing on female crabs and to do a broad range of research on the crab population, fecundity studies, a lot of different research that was being paid for by harvesting the female crabs. Whether or not the information that's generated will be adequate or provide a lot more information on how many female crabs should be landed, I think is an open question. And I've grappled with it, understanding the service's concern about analysis and things, and I've thought, well, suppose we were going to start a whole new fishery for a species. What kind of information would we need before we started a fishery to analyze how many we could take? And it's the same when we wrote the red crab FMP. I mean, there were some kind of rules of thumb that we used to apply to the information that we had that said, well, this might be an okay limit. And so whether or not we're going to get a lot more information out of the research and the exempted fishery program, I don't know, but I don't think that's the critical issue. I'm not sure how much research it would take, research to say how many female red crabs can you take. I don't know what kind of a research program would actually give you that answer. So that's just seems to me that the SSC, based on if the council passes this motion, the SSC was looking for an explicit decision by the council that they were going to change the harvest strategy before the SSC did all the work to figure out how many red crabs, how many female red crabs you can take. So we got into kind of a chicken and egg situation, who had to act first, and this at least would give the SSC that explicit indication by the council that there was an intent that if it was scientifically justified that they should go ahead and figure out then how many females, if any, it made sense to take.
Mary Beth?
Thank you. And just reflecting on some of the comments the committee received and at the public hearings, it does sound like there was a harvest of red crab, female red crab in the past. and that in the recent survey there were three times as many female red crabs as male red crabs, and that the industry supported the male-only fishery for a couple of reasons. One was market-based, it's preferred in the market, and the other was at that time there was a significant it was also seen as a conservation measure at a time when overcapitalization in the fishery was pretty high. So the situation has changed. There appear to be a lot of female red crabs. The recommendation in our motion puts a requirement that the science needs to be there before you actually have any kind of a sustainable harvest, and we felt it was justified to move the motion forward.
I don't think I was clear about the concern I was raising. It doesn't have anything to do with whether you do or you don't in the future allow a female red crab fishery. It was more a process issue. If you do allow it sometime in the future, I don't believe the specification process is going to give you what you need to allow it, because you still need to think about some other constraints and restrictions that you would have to make to be able to differentiate between the female crabs and the male crabs. So it's not just about setting a number. You're going to have measures to go along with that number to be able to monitor it and enforce it. So the specification process isn't appropriate. The framework process may be, but whether or not you can just, I mean, this would be a new measure, so whether you could say that you're going to framework a new measure in, I think, might be a problem.
Anyone else on the council? Mary Beth?
Just one question on that, telling the difference between a female and a male crab. I mean, under the current regulations, they have to do that, because they're only allowed to have one tote female. So they already have to differentiate. And I don't know how it is done, but it seems like that you have to do it now.
So say you decide to allow some female landing in the future, and you're going to allow, I don't know, 1 million pounds of females and 2 million pounds of males. How are you going to count them? Yes, you can tell a female from a male, but right now you can only have males. So that's pretty easy. You go on board, there's males. But, you know, how do you count the females and the males when you've got a total a total number for both of them?
Oh, that would beg the question, how can we measure the 1 million pounds that they're landing now? I mean, we're doing that under an experiment. So I'd like to go back to what Dave Gatel said. I mean, we recognize here that this is probably the last bite we're going to have at this apple for a long time, and we wanted to get a provision in there that would at least allow us to move forward if this experiment turns out to be favorable. If it doesn't, then we just move on. But this would give us at least a shot at it.
John, you want to add anything before I call the question? Come on forward and grab one of the mics from Dick or Chris.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. John Williams. I think it would be good, you know, I guess give everybody a little more comfort level on what they're voting on here, and just looking around all of them. We're basically, we've got three issues in contention, the female, the catch limits, and the trip limits. And in looking here, when this FMP was implemented in 2002, there's only two council members left from when we did this. So it's all pretty new to everybody else. And I think the question begs to be asked is, why were these in here in the first place? And all three of these were in here in the first place at the request of the historic participants in the fishery. When we came into this FMP process, we were the ones that requested the control date to be put in place, and that was because of a huge influx of effort coming from the Alaskan crab fleet. We already had two catcher processors sitting here on the East Coast. They were 155 feet apiece with a 50-man crew, both of them 50-man on each boat. Both of those boats combined were capable of landing 30% of the quota in one trip. And so we looked at this as our fishery was just going to get completely destroyed. in going through the process, we didn't know who was going to win. Those guys were very well funded. We weren't. So we didn't know what was going to come out of the FMP. So we started working on putting provisions in the FMP to protect the resource and restore the fishery. The first case in point is the catch limits. Catch limits were put in place. The historic participants have always landed around 75,000 pounds of crab. And if there were no catch limits put on the fishery, the catch would just, the quota would be caught, in weeks. The trap limit thing was put in place basically for prevent people from holding bottom. This is not to, increase the efficiency of the fleet. By holding bottom, I mean we fish on a very steep edge. We're right on the edge of the continental shelf. And so this is a trap fishery that's only a 24-hour soak. These traps are done fishing in one day. So it's not like lobster fishing where the more traps you have, you come and you do better. We can only haul 600 a day, and the traps stop fishing at a day. But case in point, you get two boats working together, and they get 6,000 traps. Then all of a sudden, they own about 200 miles of bottom out there just by having that trap allocation. So we asked for trap limits because there was no benefit to trap limits. There's still no benefit to trap limits. We only fish 600. And my opinion that the 600, the depth specific on this issue is much more enforceable than the numbers, because a cutter can come up to a buoy. We have to mark our buoys, and he can come up alongside of the buoy, looks at his fathometer, and he says, this buoy is either above or below. And it's end of story. With the enforceability of the actual trap limit, now you've got 600. You've got to go on board to the fishermen and say, okay, we want you to haul all of your traps and we want to count them. That doesn't work, and we've never been asked that in 9 years. The female issue, again, was something that we requested to have a prohibition on, and that was to protect the resource. We were arguing at the point to go with the 1973 stock assessment of 6 million pounds. The group that was arguing against us said that the numbers support 28 million pounds. We didn't know at the time which number was going to work or which was going to even fall into between. So we felt that if we had a prohibition on females, at least we survive, save half the resource. Because there's no way, and as we all know now, we're down to 4 million pounds, that 28 million wouldn't have worked. And again, on this female issue, I think the only thing that the industry is requesting with this female in this language is changing the prohibition of females to a total allowable catch to zero. I mean, for anybody, for all intents and purposes, it's the same thing. You're at zero. However, the mechanism now is in place with this language that in the future we don't have to come back to the council, and I'm going to look at two people that heard me today and 14 that didn't, and explain the whole story again why we should be fishing females. And so as Dave said, we're going to have to go through an awful lot. I mean, I know sitting in front of the SSC firsthand, it's not going to be, okay, here's my numbers, here's the stuff, we want 10 million pounds of females. It's just not going to happen. And so it'll just give a little more to the process and streamline the process. And just one thought with the females to maybe help Pat a little bit. The enforcement of the females can easily be rectified, as all of the boats have multiple tanks. So in the framework, you could sit there and say the females have to be set aside from the males separately on board. So in the event that somebody wanted to count at the landing, that could be done. And so that's really what all I had to say. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions?
Thanks, John. Anything further? Everybody comfortable with where we're at? I'm ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Any noes? Any abstentions? One abstention. Motion carries 15-01. Mary Beth, anything else?
No, I think.
Great. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Dick. Not at all. 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 Not at all.